现在订阅鸿蒙会英语，不论找工作、升学或英检，表现更棒。快上
studioclassroom.com。
现在请收听教学节目。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. You've heard of 70 millimeter. How about 210 millimeter? Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter. Good to have you with us today, June 12th, 2025, to read the third day of our entertainment article for the month of June. It is called The Real Stars. And we have spent the previous 2 days reading a separate article that is part of the entire article here, an article about the changing nature of movie stars and how movie stars seem to be less movie star-ish in our day and age than they used to be a few decades back in the 20th century, for example. And so we talked about that. We read through the article yesterday, and that is the plan for today as well. We will read through our third day's article here. The title, as you can see, if you have your advanced magazines open to the entertainment article on the 14th of June, the title is The Big Screen. Big Screen being shorthand for a movie screen, screen in a movie theater, the big screen. And so this is the big screen. And to learn just what this means, I have two big panelists with me here today. First, we have returning for his third straight day on the entertainment article, Teacher David. David, welcome back.
So wonderful to be here. I think Peter just called me fat. If I'm correct, but it's just okay, you know, I'm gonna just take it in stride, but I'm very happy to be here.
I was referring to you as big in the sense of Norma Desmond.
Okay, Norma Desmond. Yes.
And we also have joining us today the petite Linda. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Anyway, that is a reference, of course, to Norma Desmond in the Hollywood movie Sunset Boulevard, about a former movie star who was popular in the age of silent movies, but has not been able to have the same popularity in the era of talkies, movies with sound. This is in the 1950s. And so she has this famous line where someone says to her, "Hey, I know you. You're Norma Desmond. You used to be big." And she says, "I am big. It's the pictures that got small." The pictures, another phrase referring to the movies. The movies got small. I, Norma Desmond, am still big. And that was the big I was initially describing our panelists with. But to our article, The Big Screen, we will talk about, in fact, David, maybe you could briefly explain for us that reference I made at the beginning of the show today about 70 millimeter versus 210 millimeter. What did I mean by that?
Well, 70 millimeter film is the type of film reel that is used still by some directors who use physical film to film movies for the big screen, right? In order to get those kinds of proportions, you have to use film that has a 70 millimeter size, sort of in terms of the size of each individual little film cell. But here, if you can see from the picture, we've got not one, but three screens going on, right? So kind of like 70 times three, and then you got yourself 210 millimeter instead of just 70 millimeter.
Right. Because they'll often advertise a movie, particularly today, shot in big 70 millimeter format. Mm-hmm. It used to be done more common, but now it's not. So when it is occasionally done, I think a filmmaker like Quentin Tarantino shot a Western movie in 70 millimeter to capture the big, wide open views and spaces of the American West in a way that a smaller, more narrow film stock would not have adequately captured. But yeah, let me just put a question to our panelists before we dive into the article. Linda, we'll start with you. Speaking of 70 millimeter and 210 millimeter, do you see movies in the theaters?
I do occasionally. I don't that often. I'm very selective on which movies I see in the theater. I really need to or want to see a movie if I go see it in the theater. Even if, like, because movies are so expensive now, that's one reason. Mm-hmm. But even if I have a voucher, I still will be selective because I feel I don't want to waste my time in the theater if the movie's not good. Like, I just, yeah. And then I will, it will just be a waste. But I also choose to see movies in the theater that deserve to be seen in a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a movie that, oh, it's fine watching it, you know, on a TV, then I won't bother to see it in the theater. But a movie that, let's say the cinematography is amazing, then it will be worth it to go see it in the theater.
Right, right. David, how about you? Do you see movies in the theater in 2025?
I do, but I'm actually quite like Linda in the way that I choose movies. I don't just go and see a movie because there's a movie in the theater, because it's expensive and it takes a lot of time. And I have a lot of animals in my house. and it's just
it's
hard.
True, it does.
It's true. I have a dog and three cats now. Three cats. I have two more since we last spoke, Peter. There are three cats in my house and a dog.
Good.
Yes. And so it's kind of hard to, you know, to manage all that if you're away from the house for, you know, longer than you need to be. But also just they're expensive. So, you know, like, yeah, definitely my wife and I, typically it's me. I'll just say, hey, we should definitely see this particular movie. And sometimes it's because I know it's a really, like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the last couple of movies he's made, I almost always see them in IMAX, which is a format we'll talk about later.
Right. Christopher Nolan directed Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Dunkirk. Interstellar.
Batman.
The
Dark Knight.
The Batman movies of
Tenet.
A couple
decades
ago.
Tenet. I'm still trying to figure out what that movie was about.
We all are.
I saw it three times. I still could not really tell you what that movie's about.
It's puzzling.
It's very puzzling. And it was meant to be puzzling, I suppose, because half the dialogue, you can't even hear it. Anyway, that's another advanced article. But yes, I'm selective about the movies I see in theaters, but when I do go to the theater, I really enjoy the experience.
Yes, I would agree with that too. And like both of you, pretty much, I will not normally go see movies in the theater nowadays. If a movie is just come out, it almost always will come out either on Netflix or some other streaming service, or I figure I can wait a few months and just watch it on TV, save myself a few bucks. Mm-hmm. But I will go see something in the theater if it is a movie that really deserves to be seen in a theater. If it takes advantage of the big widescreen format, the powerful sound system, if it has that kind of spectacle to it, that is best appreciated in a theater. For example, Top Gun Maverick. Mm. I mean, it's a movie about flying around in a plane, you know, and aerial combat, and to see that on a screen about the size of, you know, my TV would just, I would watch the story, but the spectacle would be completely gone.
Yeah.
You know, it would be completely gone. Or the Christopher Nolan movie. I saw Tenet in theaters too, because he does tend to shoot with that big screen, sense in the movies that he shoots. So today we're going to learn about a new technology that perhaps your next Christopher Nolan movie will, appear in. We'll have to see what he decides, but for the moment, let's read the first section of our article and practice our English. Let's read our first section now.
The big screen. In Screen X, everything is bigger. Or at least considerably wider. Screen X is a premium theatrical format that extends movie screens to the theater's walls to create an immersive 270-degree viewing experience. That means the movie is wrapping around you, filling your peripheral vision, rather than simply unfolding on the screen in front of you. You know, the way movies have been for the last 100-plus years. Screen X, which bills itself as cinema without limits, is not for every movie, but for the action blockbusters or animated films for which it's activated, Screen X plops viewers further into the world of the movie and deeper into the vision of the filmmaker. At ScreenX presentations, the technology isn't activated for the entire length of the film. At a recent ScreenX showing of the animated adventure The Wild Robot, the three screens were on for about 62 of the film's 102 minutes, or about 60% of the film's runtime. This is typical.
Okay, so this is ScreenX, a big, big screen. We're talking about ScreenX. Everything is bigger, or at least considerably wider. And Linda tells us in our first full paragraph here, ScreenX is what kind of theatrical format?
It is a premium theatrical format that extends the movie screens to the theater's wall to create this immersive 275-degree viewing experience. So when you're in this, you are just, you feel as if you are immersed, that you are in the film.
Now, what's another thing that could be implied by the use of that word premium?
Price.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to cost you to have this premium experience.
Yes. We have that phrase in English, to pay a premium for something means to pay more than you might have had to pay otherwise in order to get some additional benefit in some way. To pay a premium means you really paid a lot for it. And it also can just mean top quality, premium quality, perhaps justifying the higher price that you pay for it. And David, he goes on to say that this means that the movie is wrapping around you and doing what?
Well, it's wrapping around you at the 270-degree viewing experience. So that's kind of just the sort of the angle that the screens appear to be surrounding you. And by wrapping around you, the film is filling your peripheral vision. So instead of, you know, just seeing the movie in front of you on the screen and the to the sides, there's just black and the walls of the theater. Instead, your peripheral vision is also has things going on, right? I was talking to Linda before the show about this, about how it'd be really interesting to see a movie like Dune, right? Like, you know, you'd see the action happening in front of you, and then your peripheral vision would just be the expanse of the desert of Arrakis, right? That would be really nice. Or something like Interstellar, another one of my favorite movies, also happens to be, well, it's a Christopher Nolan movie. Dune was not, but Interstellar is. And being in deep space and having the stars in your peripheral vision as you're floating through space would be very interesting. But peripheral just means kind of like on or near the edge of something. So it's just sort of the parts of your vision that are you're not focusing on.
Right, right. Like using my peripheral vision now, I can see that the walls in our studio change color slightly, but I can't tell you exactly how it changes unless I turn and look at it. Out of my peripheral vision, I just get like about 10% of the visual information that I could get. And then when I look at it straight on, I get 100% peripheral, just out the side. And then, Linda, there's an interesting turn of phrase here. It says that the movie wraps around you, filling your peripheral vision, rather than simply unfolding on the screen in front of you. Now, does that mean that at a ScreenX viewing, the screen starts small and then opens this layer and opens this layer and opens this layer? Is that what they mean?
Oh, no, it's more of a figurative unfolding before your eyes. I mean, there are three screens, and sometimes not all of them are showing the film. I think only certain percentage of the movie, all three screens have the film on it.
Right, yes, and that actually takes us into our second paragraph here, which goes, ScreenX, which bills itself as, quote, cinema without limits, is not for every movie. So the cinema without limits is, apparently has some
limits. Has some limits.
but what, Linda?
But for the action blockbusters and animated films, they are more appropriate. Not to say that they're limited, like ScreenX limits the kind of movie, but it's what would be best in this format. So blockbusters, animated films, ScreenX plops viewers further into the world of the movie and deeper into the vision of the filmmaker. And this action of plopping the viewers, it's just setting them in the scene. But plop tends to this connotation of doing something heavily. So yeah. If you plop down in your seat, you mm-hmm. just let your whole body just fall into the seat.
Right. It's an interesting use of a very simple word, really, when we plop something down. In a way, plop is onomatopoeia, mm-hmm. in that it almost sounds like what it describes. You know, plop, plop. Something mm-hmm. that plops down sort of makes a sound like plop. And that also is how the word is spelled. But yeah, like Linda was saying, it means that you are set down somewhere, in a very comfortable way. We would not say that you plop down on a rock. Mm-hmm. You plop down on a couch mm-hmm. or your bed or a comfy chair is what you plop down on. You sit down carefully on a hard rock of some sort. Mm-hmm. So anywhere where you are plopped, there's an idea of comfort, maybe even luxury, plops you down. And that's certainly what I think they're going for here with the description of the use of Screen X. It plops the viewers, comfortably sets them down further into the world of the movie and deeper into the vision of the filmmaker. Now, interestingly, it goes on here to say that at Screen X presentations, that is, movies which are shown with the Screen X feature, the technology isn't what, David?
Well, the technology isn't activated for the entire length of the film. So it's not like you go to see a full movie and the whole thing is going to be on these three scenes, on these three different screens. The writer gives the example of the Wild Robot, which is kind of a somewhat recent animated adventure film. So in this movie, the three screens were on for about 62 of the film's 102 minutes, which they say is about 60% of the film's runtime. So it's not like you're going to be spending the entire movie trying to figure out where to focus. Mm. That would be exhausting. Yes, it's only for a portion of the movie.
Right, right. Presumably the portions that take place outdoors or in some action set piece, as they say, of some mm-hmm. sort, some sequence in which there's a lot of movement, in which it would be exciting to have a bigger, wider view of things rather than a close, intimate conversation between two of the characters. Mm-hmm. Either of you guys see The Wild Robot?
No.
No.
Not yet.
No.
I don't know of this one myself, but I don't follow movies as much as I used to. But, yeah, this is sort of an introduction to the technology of Screen X. And now in the second section of our article, we'll read a bit more about questions you might have about it or how it figures into the larger movie industry at this point in time. So let's go now and read our second section.
But isn't the whole multiple screens thing distracting? It's not. A worst-case scenario would present two characters talking on screen from the left and right walls of the theater, with theatergoers' heads craning from side to side like they were watching a tennis match. Screen X is mostly built to extend the action of whatever is on the main screen, with the two walls adding to what's in the edges of the frame. The main action is still in the middle. The sides are just filling viewers' vision with, well, more. The further back you sit in the theater, the more you're able to appreciate the experience. The closer you get to the screen, the more the action surrounds and eventually encapsulates your full range of vision. Screen X comes at a time when premium large format or PLF offerings have been a bright spot for the theater-going industry. Other examples of PLF include IMAX and 4DX, the latter of which presents a full sensory experience, including misting viewers if the movie calls for it.
Okay, so our second section begins with the question that might be on our minds. You got these big, wide screens all around you. Isn't the whole multiple screens thing distracting? Linda, how does the author answer this question?
It's not. So the author is saying that a worst case scenario would be two characters talking on the screen and one is on the left side, one is on the right side, and you end up watching them like you're watching a tennis match, your head going from side to side. So that is a worst case scenario. So instead, like, you would just watch the center screen. That's when it would switch to just one screen.
Right, yeah. And that phrase, worst case scenario, perhaps familiar to our listeners, but that just means in a situation where there are a variety of outcomes, the worst case scenario is the worst possible outcome. A scenario, actually from the word scene, the worst possible scene, the worst possible outcome of something, a worst case scenario. And to be honest, though, I don't know, maybe it's my theater background, but there, I agree that while watching a normal, straightforward film, that would be distracting to have to turn your head from one side of the wall to the other just to follow an ordinary dialogue scene. But in the hands of an artistic filmmaker, that could be interesting.
It could, yeah. It would either be, but it would either be interesting or annoying.
If used sparingly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And with intention. You know,
yeah.
Not just, oh, you know what? Let's shoot this scene with him over there and her over there and talking like that. No, it would have to have a reason for happening, some reason that amplified the point of the scene or the point of the dialogue.
Yeah. It'd be something like in West Side Story, you know?
Yes, like a, where the gangs are lining up.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're in the middle of this, of what looks like it's going to be a gang fight.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting use of Screen X rather than just showing you more mountains and more trees.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the benefit of it now. You can tell I'm not paid by Screen X. but the article goes on to say that Screen X is mostly built to extend the action of whatever is on the main screen within the two walls, adding to what's in the edges of the frame. The main action is still in the middle. The sides are just filling viewers' vision with, well, more. So, yeah, I kind of like what I'm saying here. Just more of the background scenery or the side ground scenery, as it were, in this case. And David, it says in the next paragraph, the further back you sit in the theater, the more you're able to appreciate the experience. And to do what?
Well, you'll be able to get a wider, you'll be able to kind of see more of the screens at one time if you sit further back in the theater. But the closer you get to the screen, the more the action will surround you and eventually encapsulate your full range of vision. Encapsulate here just means to completely enclose, right? In like a confined space. So it's like you're there in the center of the action.
Right.
Personally, I would much prefer to be sitting further back because I don't want to have to be constant. You know, it's like you can't.
I can think of a few movies where I wouldn't want to be in the center of the action.
Right.
Like West Side Story, for example.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Or a war movie.
You yeah.
know, in the middle of a battle scene. And, you know, it might be fun for 10 seconds, but just, eventually.
So it might depend on which movie that you're seeing to determine where you sit, either in the further to the back or closer to the front.
But it just seems like you wouldn't be able to really enjoy it, you wouldn't be able to really appreciate all this footage if you were sitting too close. Mm-hmm. Because if I wanted to see the extra trees and mountains that they added to this scene in Kung Fu Panda, for example, like we see in our picture, I would have to like, you know, be kind of get up and sort of turn around in order to look back and be like, oh, this, you know, but then I'd be missing the action there at the front. You know, it would just be, like, I mean, you know, if I really want to enjoy, if I'm going to pay all this, if I'm going to pay this premium price to go in and have a 270 degree film viewing experience, well, then, you know, let me sit a little further back so I can just kind of glance back and forth and see everything that's going on. I don't have to do so much work.
I mean, theater owners may be wondering if this means that they have to install rotatable seats.
Right, yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
Like at a bar or restaurant sometimes they have the stools that can turn you around 360 degrees. Maybe they're going to have to replace the seats in their theater with seats that turn so that people can take in all the more on the other sides. But Linda, in our last paragraph, tells us a bit about the industrial, the moment in the industry that Screen X is coming along. It says Screen X comes at a time when what?
Premium large format or PLF offerings have been a bright spot for the theater going industry. So we have other examples of this premium large format, and they include IMAX and 4DX. So I think a lot of people are familiar with IMAX. We mentioned that earlier. A lot of Christopher Nolan films are shot in IMAX. So they're filmed for you to see in an IMAX theater to get more of the visuals. And then there's also 4DX. And I've never seen a movie in 4DX.
Me neither.
So it offers this element of more than 3D. I'm actually not sure. Does it include 3D? Is it 3D part of it?
It would have to be if it's 4D.
Okay.
It's like, I assume they're adding 1D, so
right.
3D should be there, right?
So the 4D element that's added is if you are for a full sensory experience. So if there is a scene, maybe you're next to, it shows a waterfall, you will be misted with spray.
Yeah.
So you'll feel the water. Or if there is movement, that there's a earthquake or something or an explosion, then your chair will shake. So you get that sensory experience.
Yes, yes. I was kind of hoping when I first heard about 4D movie going that it involved the scientific understanding of the fourth dimension. The first dimension being length, the second width, the third height, and the fourth time. And I was thinking, but wait a minute, a movie that takes place in 4D, there'd be spoilers all over the place.
You'd be technically watching
the whole...
It would
be showing you the end of the movie at the beginning. And the middle at the same time, and this is probably why I don't work in the movie industry.
Well, if you think about it, that's kind of, you know, Dune 1 was kind of a 4D movie because there were all those scenes with the prophecies of,
mm-hmm.
it was, I kind of felt like, I enjoyed that movie, but I kind of felt like I was watching the trailer for Dune 2 while I was watching Dune 1 because there were all these, like, visions that he was having of the future of things that happened in the second movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of 4D in that.
In that's okay.
In that's
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, sure. A little, maybe 3.5D.
Maybe 3.5D.
Yeah. 3.75D.
3.7.
Anyway, viewers, this is what is new in movie technology, and paired with our article from the previous 2 days here, you are left to answer the question that we posed at the beginning of just who the real stars are in movies, whether it's people, movie stars, or technology, Screen X and IMAX and 4DX and anything else that ends in X, which apparently is the norm in the movie industry. But the norm here at Advanced is for us to bid you farewell today and invite you to join us again next time when we will have another article for you in a different subject for your June reading and listening enjoyment. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Linda.
And I'm David.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.